There's a verse in 1 Timothy chapter 3. I want to use this as our primary text for this morning. It's in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3. If you need, there's NIV Bibles in your pews there along with your hymn books if you'd like to follow along that way. It says there, here's a trustworthy saying. If anyone sets his heart on being an overseer, he desires a noble task. Those of you that have little footnotes beside the word overseer, you might see it's also sometimes translated traditionally by the word bishop. We're going to talk today briefly about the eldership in the New Testament church, and then we will ordain one of our members to become an elder or to be an elder here at the South Mills Church working with the other elders. We need to understand how important the function is. In any group, organization, activity, it just seems naturally that there's somebody that has to kind of oversee things, kind of be in charge of things, see that things get done. It doesn't matter what it is. It can be a little league baseball team. It could be a university. Somewhere along the line, somebody has to be the decision maker. And sometimes these things are set up with boards of trustees, different kinds of oversight groups. In the New Testament church, it's the same way. Here's what was going on. When Jesus ascended to heaven, he turned the job over to his disciples who are now becoming apostles. As the apostleship, there's 11 of them right there when he ascends. A few days later, they select the replacement for Judas to bring him up to 12. These 12 apostles will be filled with the Holy Spirit in a very special way. And as they go forth into various places, they will teach and preach and share exactly what Jesus wants preached and taught and shared. How many people back then had copies of the New Testament? Absolutely none on the day that Jesus ascended, because it had not been written yet. It's going to be written as they proceed to carry out the activities, and as they have to correspond letters to churches, letters to individuals, those type things, it's going to get written. Plus, God is going to add another man to become an apostle. His name is Paul, but at the time he's Saul. He's going to be added, and he's going to be God's special chosen apostle to the Gentiles. The others will primarily start out with the Jewish people, but Paul will be mainly sent to all the Gentiles. And he's going to go traveling around, teaching and preaching and sharing exactly what Jesus once taught and preached and shared. So, this group of leaders that God has set apart goes and does his job. What happens when they die off? What happens when they can't be in this place all the time? They're over here, something's going on over here. What happens? God in his providence recognized that the church needed men to step up and to lead the church. So it seems what he has established is the job of elder. And it has a couple main characteristics to it. But it establishes the office and function of elder. Look in Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20, talking about the office and function. In Acts chapter 20, you'll notice in verse 17, Paul is traveling back to Jerusalem. He wants to get there as quickly as possible. But he also knows when he gets there, he's going to be arrested. And he's unsure what the future holds. The Holy Spirit's been revealing to him bits and pieces. And it sounds like what he understands is, I'm going to get arrested and I may not survive this. So, he decides he's going to meet with a group of men. And you'll notice in verse 17 there in the book of Acts chapter 20. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus, their large city where Paul had spent a long time, sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. So he calls this group of leaders together in Ephesus, the large one that he spent a lot of time with in Asia Minor there, what we call Turkey today. He brings these leaders in and he begins to tell them certain things. Slide down to verse 28 of Acts 20. He says there, he tells this group of men, these leaders, these elders, keep watch over yourselves and all of the flock which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God which he bought with his own blood. You leaders, you are to keep watch first of all. Make sure you don't fall into temptation. Make sure your life is exemplary. But then I want you also to oversee the whole work. Make sure this work at Ephesus is getting done like God wants it done. And I want you to shepherd the members. Like a shepherd would take care of sheep, I want you to make sure they're fed. Spiritually is mainly the main concern, but also make sure their physical needs are met, and you'll use deacons for getting that done. But make sure that they are that this church is getting everything it needs spiritually to grow. Teach the older women how they're supposed to conduct themselves. Teach the younger women how they're supposed to conduct themselves. Teach the older men what they're supposed to do. Teach the younger men. Teach the parents what to do with children. Teach children what to do with parents. Teach everybody how to look after their older parents. How to get along with their neighbor. Got to get it all out there. Not everybody's running around with a copy of the New Testament yet because it hadn't been written. And the other thing is the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, was for the Jews, and Jesus has fulfilled the Old Covenant. So, and again, all these Gentile churches wouldn't have copies of the Old Testament anyway. So somebody's got to instruct them. So what he's decided to do is establish elders and make sure that they have the doctrine that's necessary so that the church will continue to preach and teach what it's supposed to preach and teach. That's what's happening. This position is very important. It's a very special thing to have. In the book of Philippians, real quick, right next to the book of Ephesians, Philippians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul writes to the church at Philippi, and he even mentions the overseers. He says here, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. Now, you may be getting confused. Are they overseers? Are they elders? What's going on here? Are they shepherds? In that Ephesians passage that I'm going to have you look at here in just a minute, but in the Ephesians passage, in the Acts passage that I had you look at, Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus. All right, get yourself on the track, Ron. So, as he was instructing them, he says to you elders, I want you to be overseers. Oversee the work, and I want you to shepherd the work. That's your job. So you can use either one of the titles for it. Those of you with the copies of the bulletin, on the back of it, you'll see they're listed. Five men's names, or four men's names, it'll be five next week. There are four men's names that are listed there. Forget me and Roy at the top there. Look at the four there. You see them listed? And I got it listed, I believe, as elders, overseers, shepherds, or something like that. That's their job. Those four men right now, the fifth one will be added. Their job is to make sure this work is oversaw and to make sure that the flock is shepherded. As an evangelist, I work with them. I know there's a lot of terminology out there, and you're welcome. You may be as confused as I have been over the years as to why someone is called this, why someone's called that, that type of thing. I can't explain it all in this short time, but I just tell you this. We use the term elders and deacons and evangelists. As an evangelist, I am not in charge of the elders, and the elders are not in charge of me. We work together. I've been called by Christ to preach and teach and to help with the local work. The elders oversee the local work and make sure things get done. If some reason tomorrow you decided, hey, you got to go, Ron, we're done with you, you are out of here, and then the elders are here to shepherd, they keep taking, I can go find another job. How many times have you seen ministers go to another place? But the elders are part, they live in the community. They live in that area. That's their livelihood. So they're not supposed to just pack up and go, you know, just for any old reason. So this is what we do here. This is how we're set up. Elders oversee. They're also called shepherds. They're also called, you can use the word pastor for an elder, because pastor and shepherd comes from the same Greek word, poimen. Comes from the same Greek word. You can call any of these elders pastors if you want. You can call them shepherds if you want. You can call them overseers if you want. You can call them bishops if you want. You can call them for supper if you want to have them over. Okay? All right. Now, in the Timothy passage, Paul writing to Timothy, who's an evangelist on the field. His job is to make sure churches have elders. Make sure they got them. And he gives them some description about what to look for in an elder. And he lets Timothy know that what this person is doing, when he seeks to become an elder, he is seeking a noble task. The King James refers to it as, they seek a good work. It's a service to be fulfilled. It's a service to be provided. They are to do this. Going back to our I'm going to Titus this time, right next to the Timothys. 1 and 2 Timothy and then Titus. Titus chapter 1, verse 5. The book of Titus, chapter 1, verse 5. Titus is in a lousy situation. You know, sometimes it's the problem is the minister, sometimes the problem is the congregation, sometimes it's both. But anyway, here on this island of Crete, Paul had established some churches, but he had to leave. Things weren't quite done yet, so he has sent Titus there to get things done. Titus is beside himself because these people are hard to work with. They got a lot of issues. So Paul writes this letter to encourage Titus to hang in there and get the work done. So he says in verse 5, the reason I left you, this reason, Titus, understand, the reason I left you on the island of Crete was that you might straighten out what was left unfinished and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. Wherever a town was that had a group of Christians, I want you to appoint elders, plural, at least two, to oversee that work. Get it done. That's one of the reasons why I left you there. So that's his job, to go and do this. So it's a noble task and it's a necessary task. I've been involved with churches that did not have leadership. Only a couple. And my experience is not vast because I've been blessed to be here for 30-some years. So it's not like I'm walking in with a whole lot. But the place before I was there for a couple years, the place before that was a year, and the place before that was a year. Working on a little church down the Outer Banks with no eldership at all, 7 to 15 people. Everybody wanted to be in charge. It was a challenge. And I certainly wasn't equipped for it. And I'm glad someone else went down there. When I went to work at another church, I was just an associate minister there, second year of Bible college, that type thing. Saw some things going on, saw a lot of things in disarray, also saw a lot of good things, learned a little bit about that would help. Third church I went to, had two elders, death came to one of them, left one, they decided to get two more, but the one elder handpicked who he wanted. It was not necessarily a good situation, just chaotic there for a while. I've seen what happens when eldership is not strong. We have strong eldership here. If you disagree, then let us know. But otherwise, I think we have strong eldership here. We've had 12 men so far, different men, serve as an elder here at South Mills Church. We currently have four. We've had as many as six on board. A couple have already graduated to heaven. A couple moved away. A couple needed to resign at the time because of family matters that need to be seen to. When we ordain Jeff here in just a few minutes, he's got the wonderful number 13. Okay? So, he'll have a bullseye on his back the whole time anyway. But it's a necessary and important task. I don't always agree with the eldership, and the eldership doesn't always agree with me. We all don't always agree with each other. I can't even get 100% agreement from my wife on every issue. You know, and she picked me out as the one she wanted to be with the rest of her life. Now, as she said one time, you learn to live with your mistakes. So, but we don't always agree. I hate the question. I hate this question with a passion. Where do you want to go out to eat tonight? She doesn't like my solution. My solution is, let's pick out five restaurants in the Elizabeth City area that we like. Okay, you like that? Okay, we got them all five. Let's prioritize them, 1 through 5. All right, then what we will do is I'll keep a checklist. We'll go to this one this week. And then the next time you ask me, we'll go to this one. And the next time you ask me, we'll go to this one, and we'll go back around. Now, does that not make sense? Makes a lot more sense than, where do you want? Hon, I want to go wherever you want to go. Well, that's not an answer. Well, every time I suggest something, oh, well. All right, enough venting. You got to know when to stop. All right. So these are important tasks. These are necessary tasks, and we need it. Titus chapter 1 verses 6 through 9, 1 Timothy 3 verses 2 through 7, and 1 Peter 3 2 through 4 tell us that the elder candidate, whoever's going to be an elder, has to walk on water. And we're going to take Jeff out here to the canal, and if he cannot walk on water, then he can't have the job. Right? If you read those qualifications, the only person that is qualified to be an elder ever was Jesus Christ. So what we have to do is take that list. He must not be quarrelsome. I'm pretty sure Jeff or anybody else has had a quarrel at least once in their life, right? You know, he must be good-natured, kind, gentle. I'm pretty sure there's some times when everybody's not measured up that way. You look at this overall status and try to find someone that matches that as close as possible and allowing for humanity to come in and the grace of God to be there as well. So, as we looked over these qualifications, as the congregation has looked over these qualifications, and Jeff has been asked, he had to fill out a questionnaire on this and involved every one of these qualifications. And he looked these all over. He felt like he could serve as an elder. The elders felt like he could serve as an elder. And the congregation voted last week to approve him to serve as an elder. And we're getting ready here in just a moment to ordain him. But you get a chance sometime. You want to read the qualifications. I mean, it's easy to rip somebody else for not measuring them up to them, but you're going to certainly have to point a finger probably back at yourself somewhere along the line. Now, going back to that Timothy passage for a minute, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. There's one key thing that I think every elder needs. And I think it's whatever it is. If you're going to be a little league coach, you need to do this. Or if you're going to be a parent, you need to do this or whatever. You're going to be working for somebody. You set your heart. That's what it says in 1 Timothy 3. You set your heart. This is not a side task. This is not something, okay, I got nothing else to do this week, so I'll do some elder work. This is the most important job, I think, this side of heaven. This is the most important job in the world, is to oversee and to shepherd God's people. It was so important a job that Paul, on his way to get arrested in Jerusalem, had to meet with these elders to encourage them. Hang in there, watch yourselves, guard yourself, take care of the flock. These are my people, don't lose them. Do everything you can to help them be the people of God that they're supposed to be. So this is not something trivial. It's not something that's just a, if I get to it, it's a convenience I'll get to. Your heart, Jeff, all the elders' heart, needs to be focused on, I'm going to set my heart on doing the work of an elder of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ Church. I am going to be there. Now, what he needs from us is he needs us to pray for him, to encourage him, to strengthen him. All the elders need that. And if they make a decision you don't like, realize that you're not the elder. You're not been set aside to do that. But it doesn't hurt to still go talk it over with them. To explain things, maybe from your perspective. Maybe they hadn't thought about it. But don't, just try not to tear them down just because you didn't like a certain decision. It's something, sometimes it can be so silly. In the early days here, we used to meet in the classroom that's across from my office. At one time was our little mini fellowship hall. We had it set up with tables and chairs in there. And that's where we held our men's meetings many times. So the men are in their meeting, and it was something like this. I had gotten a letter in the mail from a church camp, and the church camp was requesting that churches purchase fireproof mattresses. They had been told by the fire marshal all the mattresses in their church camp had to be replaced, and otherwise they could not hold camp that year. I thought this was a slam dunk. I went to the meeting. I said, here's what's been requested, and I think we ought to go ahead and purchase one. What do you think? Maybe two. One of the elders said, Ron, aren't we supporting Roanoke Christian Camp? Yeah. He said, don't they have a lot of needs? I said, yes, they do. He said, well, if we've got some extra funds, we probably need to help Roanoke Christian Camp to meet its needs more so than help this other camp at this time. Well, has anybody ever felt deflated when you suggested something? Have you? And I did a little slow burn, you know. You want to say something, but you're smart enough not to at the moment. You go home and think about it. And I realized this man was making what he thought was a good decision. I was making what I thought was a good decision. But the elders thought it was best, along with the men that were present that night, that it was best not to do that. You know how God worked the whole problem out? They raised more than enough money to buy those mattresses. They were able to buy double the mattresses they weren't. And our money went to help in a need that had not been thought of and met. Sometimes it's best not to get your own way. You may not always agree. But the elder, the way I look at it, there was a minister that resigned up in Delaware. He resigned. He submitted his letter of resignation to the elders. The elders accepted it. He decided he did not want to resign and requested a congregational vote. The elders said, "We're not doing a congregational vote. We've already accepted your resignation." A meeting was held for information purposes, and a whole bunch of people were discussing back and forth, and one man stood up and said, "Are these our elders?" "Yes." "Well, it seems to me we have put them in charge, then let's let them be in charge. If they think it's best for this man to leave at this time, it's best." And that man had been baptized by that minister and thought the world of that minister. But his statement that day was what needed to be heard at that particular time. We need to support our elders, and we need to encourage them in every way we can. Well, if you're not sure of the plan of salvation, you got to believe Jesus is the Christ. That's what they taught. Those who believed accepted the message, and they asked what they should do. They were told, repent and be baptized. Repent of your sins. Repent of the life you've lived outside of Christ, outside of God. Repent of it and ask God for forgiveness. He'll meet you in the watery grave there. He'll provide you the forgiveness of sins that you seek. He'll fill you with His Holy Spirit. Your name will be written down forever in the Lamb's Book of Life. Make that decision today. If you're already an immersed believer, and many of you are, you already made that decision. You already got immersed into Christ. And you've somehow slid back into some sort of sinful state, repent of it and ask God for forgiveness. Recognize your sin. Don't rationalize it. Don't explain it away. Say, "God, I am a sinner." Be like tax collector in the temple. "God, I'm a sinner. Be merciful, please." God will do that. If you need our prayer support, come, we'll pray with you about the matter. If you're already an immersed believer, but for some reason you haven't placed your fellowship yet, place your fellowship. Join with us. For the rest of us, let's get to the mission. Let's get the work done. We're here to get equipped so we can go out and get the job done for Jesus Christ. Now, if I haven't answered all your questions and you want to talk afterwards, you want to discuss things, that's fine. I'll be glad to talk with you. Don't feel the pressure. You have to come up here right now. But do think about what God wants you to do and make that decision appropriately.